Hey, well, good morning, Equippers Essex. I hope you guys are doing incredibly well. This is an exciting Sunday. This is a Sunday when we get to talk all about our prophetic theme for 2024. Now, I really believe our theme of 2023 was an amazing theme, the glory of God. And I suppose in many ways, we only scratched the surface of that theme, of that topic. And, you know, when you start to think about a new theme for a new year, maybe in our minds we can think, well, the old theme is gone. I don't need to worry about that anymore. But I actually believe the way the kingdom works is God builds layer upon layer upon layer. And so today, as we launch this new theme, we are not dumping the old theme, but we're actually believing to keep walking on that. But today, we're going to be adding a new layer onto what God is doing in our churches. And so it's pretty exciting for me today to launch this theme. I believe it's going to be a journey for us this year. I believe we're going to learn some new stuff together this year. We're going to learn some language. We're going to learn how to talk, a whole bunch of things that go together to understanding our theme for 2024. So I hope you're ready. I hope you've got your notepad. I hope you've got your pen or your phone, whatever it is you're taking notes with, because today I want to give you perhaps a quick overview of where we're going in the next 12 months. Because the theme, as Monica and I have really prayed about it for 2024, is the whole area of faith. A year of faith. That's right, we're going to be learning the language of faith. We're going to be going on a journey of faith. I believe there are going to be moments when we are going to step out in faith. And, you know, I believe in Essex, there's going to be some opportunities for you guys that maybe you've never had before. And they're not just going to fall in your lap. There's going to be some faith required. You know, in fact, really, faith, as somebody once said, is the open door through which God walks. I love that thought. Faith is the open door through which God walks. And if we want to see more of God actually moving in our lives, then we actually need to learn how to walk in faith more. So this is going to be an exciting year. This is not just going to be theology. I believe this is going to be applied in kind of corporately as a church, but also individually in our lives. And, you know, even as I speak this morning, I believe God's going to start to drop seeds of ideas into your heart about what your faith journey is going to look like this year. I love being on faith. I love being on a journey of faith. It's both exciting and a little nervous at the same time. Anytime you get ready to step out in faith, you know, you feel those kind of nervous flutters. There's a risk factor when it comes to walking with faith, but it's the journey that God has called us all to embrace. Let me just give you a great scripture. Hebrews 11 verse 1 is a wonderful starting place for the subject of faith. And it says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen." I actually love how the Passion Translation puts it. It says, "Now faith brings our hopes into reality." And I believe that's what God wants to do for us. He wants to bring what we are hoping for, what we're dreaming about, what we're desiring to come into reality. He's a good God. He doesn't want us just to hope forever. He wants it to become a reality. Faith is the mechanism that brings our hopes into reality. And it becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. No doubt you've got things in your heart that you've been longing for. Maybe longing for a long time. As you heard Dr. Michael Maiden, just a great prophet, a friend of Equippers, recently say, 2024 is going to be the year of harvest. And I believe that, a year of harvest where some of the prayers we've been praying for a long time, we are going to see come to pass in 2024. So just continue reading in the Passion. It is the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove that which is still unseen. So faith is the evidence we have that which is unseen is actually a done deal. And we're going to see the reality of it. So listen, a couple of months ago, I was reading an amazing book. I was preparing for this theme and started to read a book by a guy called Yong-Yi Cho, who you might be familiar with. He's now passed away. He was a Korean pastor. And at one point, he had the largest church in the world. Grew from nothing to approximating 1 million people in his church. That's pretty shocking. 1 million people. And he's wrote an amazing book about faith. And as I read this book, there were some principles in there that have really helped me in preparing what we're going to be doing this year. And this morning, I want to draw a little bit on some of those thoughts as we take a journey about what it looks like to walk in faith. So if you're writing notes this morning, you might want to write this down. Number one, if we're going to go on a journey of faith, the first thing we need to do is have a clear-cut picture of what it is we are in faith for. A clear-cut picture. You know, when you close your eyes, it's almost like on the inside, you can see the picture of what it is that God is wanting you to experience in this reality. You know, Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, when I say to you, what are you hoping for? Your mind goes somewhere. If you're hoping for a new job, if you close your mind, you've probably got a bit of a picture of what that job may look like. If you say, well, I'm hoping for a relationship. Well, you close your eyes, you can probably picture what that might look like. The problem is for many of us, it's hazy, it's vague, it's not that clear. But actually, if we're to walk in faith, God actually wants to lead us to a place where when we close our eyes, it's like we can see this clear cut picture of what it is that we are going after. I remember being in New Zealand probably 4 or 5 years ago, attending Shack Conference in New Zealand. And there we were in the Spark Arena, the largest arena in the country. And somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 people gathered in that arena to worship the Lord. And I just remember being so impacted by what I saw and what I felt. I was almost like I was overwhelmed by what I was experiencing. And I remember turning to my neighbor at the time, and you know, sometimes you say something, it just comes off your tongue. You haven't maybe even processed it too much. And when you say it, you can't take it back. I remember just nudging my neighbor at the time and saying, one day, we're going to have a conference like this back in the UK. And it was like I saw a picture of it. I could see it. I had seen it in front of me. And now, as I said this, it was like faith started to grow in my heart that one day we could have Shack Conference in the UK. Well, fast forward a few years, and many of you'll know, we've already had two of those conferences in the UK. I had a picture on the inside that was crystal clear. It's really interesting. When we think about the men and women of faith in the Bible, God often painted a picture for them of what their future looked like. Genesis 15 verse 5 talks about Abraham, or Abram at the time. And God comes to Abram and says, you're going to be the father of a mighty nation. He has no children at this point. And it says this in verse 5 of chapter 15. Then the Lord took Abram outside and he said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. So picture the scene for a minute. Here's Abram living in maybe a small town, somewhere fairly remote. He's in his tent. And the Lord comes to him and he says, Abraham, I've got a vision for you. I've got something that I want to do in your life. I want to create a great nation out of you. And so God says, come out of your tent, look up into the skies and start to count the stars. And you know, you can imagine them, can't you? 1, 2, 3, 4, and on he went and on he went. I read somewhere that people think that it's possible to see about 6,000 stars in the sky with the naked eye. So who knows at what point that he lost count and just thought, God, there are too many stars to even count. What was God doing? God was putting a picture on the inside of him of something that he wanted to walk in faith for, to see the reality of it. I believe God wants to give you a picture, a dream. In fact, somebody said this, that the language of faith is the language of dreams and visions. When God gives you a faith word, it's often a picture or a vision or a dream. A bit like for me back in New Zealand, I got a picture of what God was wanting to do in my life. In a different passage of scripture in Genesis 13, a similar thing happens to Abraham. In verse 14, it says, after Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abraham, look as far as you can see in every direction, north, south, east, and west. I am giving you all the land as far as you can see, and your descendants will be your permanent possession. Again, God's creating this picture for Abraham. He's like, come, walk around the land. I want you to get a picture of what it is that I have for you. And I just want to declare over Corpus Essex this morning, there's a picture that God wants to deposit into your hearts about what your future looks like. There's a clear-cut picture. And when we get that picture, we can start to have faith in it if it comes from God. Amen. You know, a number of years ago, I received a prophetic word, again, from Dr. Michael Maiden. He's had a big influence on my life, you can tell. And when he prophesied this, I wrote it. But recently, God has really called me to go back and start to think about this word. And here's the word he gave me. He said, you were building a fire and it was doing good. And when I look at our church here in Surrey, I look at the fire and I think it's a fire and it's doing pretty good. I can point to many things and go, that's doing pretty good and that's doing pretty good and that's doing pretty good and always areas to improve on. But there are many areas that we could be encouraged in. And then he said this, he said, you were doing pretty good. The fire was burning well. But then he said, all of a sudden, supernaturally, the fire began to burn three times brighter. I'm visiting your church, I'm visiting your city. That was the word. Recently, as I've really prayed and meditated and gone to God, I really felt God lead me back to that prophetic word. I was building a fire. It was doing good. But then all of a sudden, supernaturally, the fire began to burn three times brighter. So right now, I've got a picture on the inside of me, for us as Equippers churches here in the UK, that the fire we've been building has been good, but God wants to step in and he wants that fire to burn three times brighter, three times more intense. To me, that speaks to a number of things. It speaks to the passion in our churches, three times more passionate. It speaks to our prayer life, three times more intense in our praying. I believe it speaks to the number of people we're going to see won to the Lord, the number of people we're going to see baptized, the number of miracles that we're going to see. I believe it speaks to numerical growth, many things. But right now, I have a picture that is clear on the inside that I am feeling pretty passionate about. Let me give you one more scripture. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Anytime you hear God speak to you, he starts to paint a picture on the inside. And he sometimes speaks to us from his word. He sometimes speaks to us through a prophet. He speaks to us through many, many different ways. But when God speaks and you know it, a picture starts to form that is going to grow our faith. So number one, if we want to grow in faith, we've got to get a clear cut picture of what it is that God is wanting to do in our lives. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. But here's the second thing we've got to do. It's not enough just to have a picture. If we want to see the manifestation or the physical reality of what we're believing for come to pass, the second thing we've got to have is a burning desire. A burning desire. In other words, we've got to have a passion for what it is God has given us a picture for. We've got to be a passionate to go after what it is that he's put on the inside of us. You know, I find in life, many people, when it comes to going after what God has put in their heart, is they can be pretty lackadaisical about it. Pretty like laid back, you know, whatever will be, que sera, sera, or, you know, it is what it is, like, you know, this is life, and I don't know if anything's going to change. No, 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 if God has put a picture on the inside of you, the second thing we need to do is get incredibly passionate about praying that vision or that faith picture into reality. I like what it says in James 5 and verse 16 in the Passion Translation. It says, confess, acknowledge how you have offended one another, and then pray for one another to be instantly healed. Listen to this. For tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Let me say that again. For tremendous power. Everyone say tremendous power. For tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt power or prayer of a godly believer. So we got to do something with this now. We got a picture of what God wants to do. The second thing we got to do is we got to passionately pray this into reality. People who just say, well, I'll just wait and see what happens. Well, you'll be waiting a long time. If you're just going to wait and see what God will do, you'll be waiting a very, very long time. You know, a little while ago, I was walking to our college building here in Weybridge. And opposite our college building is a large green space. And next to that large green space is a very large secondary school. And I was turning up to the college, I guess, somewhere around 8:30 in the morning. And the green space was filled with students that were getting ready to go into school. And you can picture the scene. They were standing there in their school uniform. Most of them were on their mobile phones and kind of heads down, just, you know, looking at their phone. And some of them were alone and some of them were in groups. And I just kind of took notice of this big group of people standing around. And then I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you have the answer for many of the struggles that they're going through. So, whoa, what is that about? And I felt him just start to say to me, you, as a spirit-filled believer, have the answer to anxiety and fear and suicide and bullying and rejection and shame and addictions and any one of these things that these young people are experiencing. You have the answer to it in me. And then I just really felt the Holy Spirit say, what are you going to do about it? I remember going away the rest of the day, and later that week I was fasting, I was praying, and I was in a coffee shop. And as I sat in this coffee shop, the picture of these young people that just looked so lost, just looked so helpless, came to my heart. And I felt this incredible burden come over my life that actually we have the answer to do something about what is going on in their world. And right in that moment, God started to really unpack for me a strategy of what we could do for these young people. Went away and we started to put some things in place. And this year we're launching something called Generation Unstoppable, where we are taking, or our plan is to take into schools every single week of term the answer to these problems. We've got a person now, we've got funding, we've got resources, we're ready to go. We're just praying for these doors to open. I have a picture on the inside, but it's never just going to happen by just waiting. I need to pray, and I'm passionately praying right now. In those 21 days of prayer and fasting, I'm saying, God, you've given me this vision, but I need you to open doors. You've given me this picture, but I need you to help us make it a reality right now. Maybe you've got a picture, maybe you've got a vision on the inside, but truth is your prayer life is pretty tame. Your prayer life is pretty lukewarm. You're not passionate about it. Come on, I want to stir you this morning, Equippers Essex. Let's get passionate about the things that God has placed in our hearts. If he's given us a vision for Essex, is he given us a picture of what God wants to do? Come on, let's get passionate this year. Let's pray passionately that the picture that God has given us for our city, for our town, for our families, for our children will become a reality. Somebody say amen if you believe that this morning. So we're on a journey of faith. God gives us a picture when we hear him speak. Number two, we got to pray with a burning desire to see it come to pass. And then the third thing that needs to happen is we need to come to a place of assurance that what God has shown us is absolutely going to come to pass. Young H. O. in his book puts it like this. He said, it's almost like with faith, there needs to be a period of incubation, an incubation period. And you know, when you think about incubation or an incubator, you might think of a warm container where something is placed in it, and at the right time, the heat of that incubator brings that thing to the point where it's ready to go. Or you might think of a mother hen sitting on some eggs. She's incubating them. She's warming them up on the inside. She's taking care of these eggs until the chicks are ready to be hatched. A bit like you and I when we were conceived by our parents. A sperm and an egg came together, and the life of who we are was formed in that moment, but we didn't see it for 9 months. It took 9 months for us to come to the point where we were ready to come into the world. You know, sometimes God gives us a dream or a word or a picture or a prophetic promise, but the truth is there's got to be an incubation period. There's got to be a period of time when things are getting ready, when that dream is growing in our hearts, where it doesn't just happen in a moment, but we're meditating on it, praying over it, bringing this thing to a point until we're ready to release it. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, God is getting ready to do something magnificent on the face of the earth. And this wonderful scripture says this. In Genesis 1, verse 2, it says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surfaces of the water. I love that thought. God's getting ready to do a great thing, but before he can do the great thing, the Holy Spirit is hovering, or if you like, he's incubating the earth, the dream of God, before he speaks the word and everything breaks into life. Sometimes we go too quick to declaring what God wants to do, when actually what we've got to do is spend some time incubating this dream until it's ready to come to life. In fact, I think it's a little bit like this. When God gives you faith, he gives you faith in your heart. He'll drop a faith bomb in your heart, a word in your heart or your spirit. But oftentimes our mind is not yet in agreement with our hearts. You know, we might in our hearts feel like, wow, this is something amazing God wants to do. But our hearts will tell us, well, how's that going to happen? Or our heads rather will tell us, how's that going to happen? That's never going to happen. Or, you know, because of this, because of this, because of this, because of this. And we can destroy our faith because our heads are not in agreement with our hearts. Our job is actually to get our minds in alignment with our hearts so that God can actually release that dream in our heart, in real life. Let me put it like this. In Romans 4, Abraham talks about Abraham. Remember, he's been given this prophetic word, this picture that he will have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. But he's approaching 100 and he still has no son for this promise. And I guess he looked at his body and his wife's body and thought, well, no life can come from this. But be inspired by his words. Romans 4 says this. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. That is extraordinary. I don't know how long the delay was, 10, 20, 30 plus years, and Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, Romans says, his faith grew stronger, and this brought glory to God. There's that word again, our faith is going to bring glory to God this year. His faith actually increased during the delay. It didn't decrease during the delay. One of the reasons you know it's a God dream, it's a God picture, is when there's a delay to what God is showing you, the picture doesn't lose brightness. The picture doesn't lose brightness. 4 years ago, as a church in Weybridge, God led us to a building that we believe is for us. And we made some great progress in acquiring that building only for it to fall apart. at the last minute. But 4 years on, if you speak to many of the people in our church here, they are still burning with a passionate desire to acquire that building. You know it's God when you're still holding on with a passionate hope for what you're believing to see come to reality. It's not a God thing when you had it one moment and you lost it the next. It's like, I was passionate about it a moment, a minute later, I don't know anymore. No. When it's God, when you've heard from God, a prophetic picture, a prophetic word, a declaration, a promise, it will burn in your heart as you pray over it until we get to the point where we are absolutely, completely convinced that this is going to happen. Completely convinced. Abraham was at a point in his life where he was convinced that was going to happen. Romans goes on to say that Abraham hoped even when there was no reason to hope. When he was to look at the reality of his life, the circumstances, he could have looked at them and went, there is no reason to hope. But Abraham hoped even when there was no reason to hope. Why? Because it was a God dream. Come on, I want to encourage you, Equipers Essex, this morning. God is going to birth fresh dreams this year. God is going to get you to revisit old dreams. I want you to come to a point in your life when your heart has a God dream and your mind is renewed to the point where you say, this has to happen. This has to happen. There's no, it is just absolutely going to take place. A number of years ago, Monica and I were getting ready to have our first sabbatical. We'd been serving God for a lot of years, actually, probably 10, 12, 13 years, and hadn't had a sabbatical. And so here we are planning to have a sabbatical. And the church we were leading at the time was not a large church, it was not a big church, and was not able to financially contribute a lot to the sabbatical. But in my heart, I had a picture of what that sabbatical was going to look like. In my heart, I saw us taking our family of six and traveling to the other side of the world to go and be part of Shack Conference New Zealand and meet and be with many of our church family, our Equippers family around the world. I could see in my heart as traveling there and spending time as a family and being absorbed and part of what God was doing in that part of the world. I could see in my heart that on the way home, visiting the States and having a great holiday with our children and taking them to Disney and doing some stuff that we would never ordinarily be able to do. I had a picture on the inside, but I didn't really know how it was going to happen. And I remember praying about it. God, I really think you want to do this, but I don't have the resources to make this happen. And then one day I was on the phone to a friend in New Zealand and he said, hey, if you'll come and speak for me, I'll give you one ticket. I'll pay for one of your airfares if you'll come and speak to me. Do you know, the moment he said that, it was like a seed of faith dropped in my heart. And I knew in that moment, this is going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I just knew in that moment when he said, you come, I'll pay for one ticket. I needed five more tickets, by the way, and accommodation and travel and all the rest of it to go with it. But when he said that, something in me, in my heart, my head lined up with my heart, and I knew that I knew that I knew this was going to happen. Well, over the next couple of months, by the grace of God, we were able to save some money, preach a little bit more in different places. We moved out of our home that we rented it out for 3 months. We received money that way. And the bottom or the end of the story is basically this, that we took our whole family on the road for about 10 weeks. And by the time we returned back, everything was paid for. There was not a penny of debt. There was nothing left to be done. I want to give glory to God for that, because that is the nature of faith. We have a picture, we pray it into reality, we come to a place of concrete assurance that this is going to happen, and then we step out. Amen? And here's the fourth thing as I come to a close, the fourth thing we've got to do. So number one, we need a clear-cut picture. Number two, we've got to have a passionate, burning desire to see this happen. Number three, there's got to be an assurance that what we are going after is absolutely going to happen. And then number four, we have to learn to speak the word. We have to learn to declare what it is that we are in faith for. In Genesis 1, the Holy Spirit is hovering over the waters, incubating, preparing, getting the earth ready for God to come and do what he wanted to do. And then at exactly the right moment, the Bible says, then God said. I want you to say that out loud with me. Everybody say, then God said. Then God said, let there be light. And guess what happened? The Bible says there was light. Are you getting the picture? God's got a picture, a dream on the inside of the earth formed and beautiful and sun and sky and animals and humans. He's got the picture on the inside. The Holy Spirit is incubating the earth, getting it ready, preparing it for something to happen. And then here we hear it. God said, let there be light. If you want to see your faith dream come to reality this year, you and I are going to have to learn to speak the language of faith. It is not enough to think it. It is not enough to believe it. We actually need to learn to declare what it is that God has shown us. The verbal declaration. Why? Because in the tongue is the power of life and death. Your words are powerful. Your declaration is powerful. Be very careful what you are speaking over your life this year. This is a year of harvest. Don't get tied up in what hasn't happened in the past. Start to boldly declare that what is in your heart is going to come to pass. Amen. Don't declare it when you're not ready to declare it. Don't declare it if you're not in faith for it. Declare it when your head has lined up with your heart and you have a concrete assurance that what God has said is going to happen. Romans 4 goes on to tell us that God does this when it comes to Abraham's life, whose body was really not in a position to have a baby. It says, God gives life to dead things and he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. He calls those things that do not exist as though they did. That's the nature of faith. Faith has the ability to say, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. God has shown me, it's going to happen. They don't exist right now, but the time is coming. Well, it will, and it will exist. You know, many, many years ago, God gave me a dream for this nation that we would have Equippers churches, not just in a few locations, but we would have Equippers churches across this whole nation. I believe it's a God dream. It burns on the inside of me. I can see it. I can feel it. It moves me. I pray over it. I'm passionate for it. But you know what? A dream that big has taken a long time to get to the point where my head is in alignment with my heart, where I know that I know that I know that this is going to happen. I'm at a point where I know it's going to happen. I know that I know that I know that that God dream will become a reality. And so I'm boldly confessing with my mouth, that which does not exist right now is going to exist. That we will see God do wonderful, amazing things through our churches up and down this nation as we continue to walk in the journey of faith. And so I want to bless you, Equippers Essex, this year with a growing faith. I want to bless you to go on a journey of learning the language of faith, of learning pictures of faith, of visions and dreams of faith, of encouraging one another. Come on, we can believe for more. We can trust God for more. But then encouraging each other in that period of incubation, of coming to the point where we are concrete, absolutely assured that God is going to do it. So thank you for listening to me this morning. Have an amazing rest of your day. I'm going to hand you back over to the team right now. Bless you guys. See you soon.